were suffocated, many people have strangulated, many people have even died. And there is other things also that follow. Many have frightful nightmares and strange dreams caused by the suggestions of shaitan. A stomach swollen with food means easy access to shaitan into the mind and the body of man. Therefore, we should rather follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our eating and drinking habits, and we should avoid shaitan getting hold of us. In this way, we will also lead holy and healthy lives, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. Ameen. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Aba'ud fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. All thanks and all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our maker Allah, our creator Allah, our sustainer Allah, our provider Allah. And we also send darood and salam upon the beloved messenger and final messenger and the most honored messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are now on the last chapter of our lesson on the series of Shaitan's Plan for Man, and the title of this final chapter of our lessons, which precedes a summary of the entire lesson which we will do as the last lesson. The title of this chapter is Seeking Protection from Shaitan. Seeking Protection from Shaitan. In other words, seeking protection from shaitan by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeking protection in Allah from shaitan. That is the chapter, and we proceed as follows. Iblis is the proper name of shaitan. Iblis is the proper name of shaitan. And shaitan is the common name of the devil of shaitan. It would be interesting to know the derivations, the definitions and the meanings of these two words, the word Iblis, what it means, from where it is derived, where it originates from, and then the word Shaitan, what is its derivation and what is its true meaning. When the devil still had angelic qualities of God fear and remembrance and obedience of Allah Ta'ala, Shaitan was known as Azazil, a name he lost when he became insubordinate and rebellious. Prior to his refusal to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make sujood of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Shaitan's name was Azazil. In the heavens, he was known as Azazil. After his disgrace, after his downfall, after his removal from Jannah, Shaitan became known as Iblis and as Shaitan. The name Iblis we look at first. The name Iblis is derived from the Arabic word Iblas. And Iblas means to despair, for lack of hope, to such an extent that one becomes completely perplexed and confounded, confused. So Iblis comes from Iblas, and Iblas means to despair, to lose hope, to such an extent that one becomes completely disorientated. I've used the word perplexed and confounded and confused. Iblis, therefore, is one who has no hope of ever receiving the mercy and rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or of ever being forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this happened for his impudence and for his disobedience of the command of Allah Ta'ala to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. He was given the name Iblis for his pride and for his arrogance in not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was given the name Iblis for his seeking to justify and to moralize before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the stand taken by him in refusing and rejecting the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was given the name Iblis for his deceiving and for his seducing people into disbelief, into sin and into evil, and for tempting them with these evil designs and evil plans all the time from the period of his downfall. Iblis is therefore the cursed devil who is the avowed enemy and the sworn enemy of man, who has absolutely no hope of ever being forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore he is known as Iblis. That is the derivation, and that is the meaning, the derivation from Iblas, and then of course that is why he is known as Iblis. Now we look at the word Shaitan. The word Shaitan, the name Shaitan of the devil, is derived from the word Shatan, or it is derived from the word Sheet. Shaitan comes from two Arabic root words, the word Shatan or the word Sheet. If we take Shaitan's name as originating from the word Shatan, it means one who has been thrown far away. One who has been removed far away from his place. Shaitan, therefore, means one who has been cast away, who has been rejected, who has been repudiated, who has been excluded. And this happened to Shaitan for his arrogance, his wickedness, and his rebellion. For that reason, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was thrown away from Jannah, he was removed from Jannah, cast away, rejected by Allah, repudiated, and cursed. All that due to his arrogance and his wickedness and rebellion. That is if the word is taken from Shatan. Shatan, which means to be thrown away or to be removed from a place. If the word Shaitan comes and is derived from the word Sheet, then it means one who flares up quickly with rage, with fury, with anger, with wrath, and one who is singed, scorched and burnt through heat or by fire. The word Sheet means one who flares up quickly with anger, with fury, with rage, and one who is or who has been burnt by fire. The Quran Majid states that Shaitan is created of smokeless fire. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَخَلَقَ الْجَانَّ مِن مَارِجٍ مِن نَارٍ. And the jinn did Allah create of smokeless fire. Surah Ar-Rahman, 55th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 151. So, Shaitan is an evil jinn created of smokeless fire, and he is, therefore, if we take it from the word Sheet, one who quickly rages and becomes infuriated. Therefore, Shaitan is prone to hasty and violent fits of rage and fury, of anger and of wrath, lacking in patience, lacking in tolerance. It is the elements, this is due to the elements of fire of which Shaitan is composed, that make him so impatient and so furious. You have seen how fire burns, how quickly it can burn a felt, a forest. So, there is no delay. Fire simply rages. We call it actually a raging fire. That is what Shaitan is made of. And Shaitan can very quickly and hastily be outraged and angry. Those among men who have patience and discipline and humility, they easily counter the impatience, the haste and the offensiveness of Shaitan. And that is why sabr is such a great quality to have in a person. Wallahu ma'as-sabirin, and many other ayat of the Quran prove to us that this is a great quality, and humility is a great quality to have in a person. If one has got humility and one has got patience and tolerance, fortitude, then he gains a very great hold over Shaitan. Shaitan cannot waswas him and succeed with him very quickly. They are not quickly tempted. Such people are not quickly tempted by Shaitan. Now we come to the du'as. Seeking protection from Shaitan, I've given you the definitions and the derivations of the word Shaitan and Iblis. Now let us look at which is the most powerful dua recommended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we can use to protect ourselves from the waswas, the evil suggestions of Shaitan. The most powerful dua is called isti'aza, which we can use for protection against Shaitan. Each one of us knows this dua. We must learn to use it in the appropriate place and at the appropriate time with the appropriate dua. Isti'aza, simply spoken, is the dua simply stated, A'uzu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. A'uzo is the most important word in this, that I seek refuge in Allah, I turn to Allah, I look for shelter in Allah, I look for protection in Allah. A'uzu billahi minash shaitani rajim is the most powerful dua for protection against shaitan. One of the most powerful and potent duas in the hands of all true believers, mu'mineen, salihin, muttaqeen, for protecting and for safeguarding themselves from the evil plans, suggestions, schemes of and designs of shaitan is the recitation of the formula, A'uzu billahi minash shaitani rajim. I seek refuge with Allah from the cursed shaitan. The word rajim, let's look quickly at this word rajim. As I said, I've given you the meaning of the word a'uzu, to seek shelter, to seek protection in, and to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what a'uzu means. The word rajim needs a little bit of explanation so we can understand. The word rajim is derived from the Arabic root word rajam. And it means being stoned, being cursed, being damned, being outcast, being abused, and being reviled. Shaitan is rajim because he has been outcast and he has been cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his rebellion, for his insubordination, for his disobedience. And we seek the safety, the security, the shelter and the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil whisperings and sinful suggestions of shaitan through the isti'aza. Now I will not repeat as we proceed every time, A'uzu billahi minash shaitani rajim. The code word is isti'aza. And whenever I use the word isti'aza, it means the recitation of A'uzu billahi minash shaitani rajim as a formula when one wishes to seek protection from the waswas of shaitan. So the word is isti'aza. Isti'aza is the dua to be recited by us to ensure such protection and safety from shaitan. It is established from Quran and Hadith. This fact that A'uzu billahi minash shaitani rajim is such a powerful dua against shaitan, for protection from shaitan, this is established from Quran and from Hadith. And that is what we will do now. Ibadah in all its forms, whether through salah, zakah, sawm, hajj, baytullah, tilawa of Quran, zikrullah or fikrullah, all of these are practices that keep shaitan away from people and from homes. So we establish beyond a doubt that the most important protection that we have against shaitan is ibadah. And the ibadah in the order that I've mentioned him, salah, zakah, sawm, hajj, baytullah, tilawa, zikrullah and fikrullah, and all these things are very, very important. If this is to be found in a home, then that home cannot be penetrated easily by shaitan. For our protection, therefore, ibadah is very important and essential. Iman with strong conviction and with absolute trust and faith is also very important. There must be no doubt in that iman, no uncertainty. If we are full of faith, strong iman, shaitan cannot penetrate that body, he cannot penetrate that mind, and he cannot penetrate that heart. Heart and mind are the two seats of shaitan in a man's body. That is where he sits and then does all his planning. Iman with strong conviction and with absolute trust and faith is also very important. Sunnah a'mal must exist in our lives and in our homes. Ever so important. For shaitan cannot enter that body, that mind, which has got sunnah habits. Trust, honesty, faithfulness, morality, duty and discipline must be found in each family member. No good just the father or just the mother or just a grandmother or the grandfather. There is no sense in just a few individuals in a family being salihin, being those who carry out their salah and their tilawa and their zikrullah and their ibadah. No, not good enough. The whole family must be committed to ibadah and to sunnah in order to safeguard that particular home and protect each member from the attentions of shaitan. Together with this, morality of the highest standard is very, very essential. They generate serenity, calm, peace, harmony and protection for the whole family and for the community. Shaitan is then restricted in his mischief making. In the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says as follows with regard to zikrullah, to ibadah of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ala bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find comfort, do hearts find rest, contentment and peace. The word tatma'inna, itminan, this is what it stands for. Verily, it is in the remembrance of Allah that the hearts of men find comfort and rest, contentment and peace. This ayah is from Surah Ra'ad. Surah Ra'ad, Surah the Thunder, is the 13th surah of the Quran. Ayat number 28. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elsewhere in the Quran also says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu zukurullaha zikran kaseeran. Sadaqallahu al-azim. O true believers, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O my beloved believers, O my true believers, O who truly believe in me as one Allah. Those who truly trust, depend, rely, believe in one Allah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Remember Allah with much remembrance. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Uzkurullaha zikran kaseeran. Remember Allah with much remembrance. Surah Ahzab, 33rd surah of the Quran, ayat number 41. What do we want more clearly stated than this? As to the power of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby is ensured anybody else penetrating that heart and that mind. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I quote, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying these words. What is he saying? He's saying, Allah ta'ala says, when my servant remembers me, and when his lips move in my remembrance, then I am with him. Unquote. Allah Ta'ala says, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying this hadith that Allah Ta'ala says, when my servant, when my slave remembers me, and when his lips move in my remembrance, then I am with him. In other words, whenever you take, you recite the names of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and you read tilawah, you make tilawah of the Quran, or with tasbih, you take the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he mentions subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar and so on and so forth. When you do this, then of course Allah is with such a person. Allah remembers him. This hadith is stated in Ibn Majah, contained in Ibn Majah and Ibn Ahabban. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I quote, O children of Adam, if you remember me, then you thank me. But if you forget me, then you do not show your thanks and your gratitude towards me. This hadith is in Tabrani. Look at it again. O children of Adam, if you remember me, then you thank me. How much do we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for? Everything, but everything. So if we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means we are expressing our thanks and our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do not remember Allah, and as stated in this hadith, but if you forget me, then you do not show your gratitude towards me. Who will be that person, thankless person, that person who shows ingratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done so much for him, everything for him. Therefore, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, which can be achieved very easily by seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything. For Allah ta'ala is the creator and sustainer of all things in this universe. By doing so, by seeing Allah in everything, every event, every happening, anything that you hear, if you just see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is the power and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is involved in everything. Whatever you see in nature, in space, on the ground, above the ground, around you, in your environment, everything should remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this happens, then we show our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we then qualify for the special attention of Allah ta'ala, which is the greatest blessing that can come on anyone, on any person. Shaitan then has no chance for mischief making,
for sorcery and for witchcraft and for his planned disruption, deception and destruction of people's lives. Yeah, I've mentioned two very important words. I've mentioned these in the past, given you even examples that sorcery and witchcraft, the source of it is Shaitan. He is the one that is responsible for all the harm that happens, and it succeeds with people when they are thankless towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what is happening at the moment with the lives of many Muslimin. Neglect of faith, neglect of conviction, or lack of conviction, or weakness in conviction, weakness in duty is causing havoc to our lives, and we are running all over to remedy the symptoms but doing nothing about eradicating the cause. Thousands of Muslims are running around looking for cures for their problem, but they themselves are the problem, and that they do not see. It is useless. If I were to ask the people who come for help, if I were to ask them, brother, do you perform your 5 times salah? Do you get up for fajr? Do you perform your isha? Do you recite some portion? Can you recite the Quran? Do you recite some portion of the Quran? Do you perform? Do you recite some tasbih when in your free hours you sit down? Do you take the tasbih and recite some tasbih? Take the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm ashamed to ask because I don't know what the response would be. But that is where the problem is. We do not carry out our a'mal. We do not carry out the sunnah. Shaitan gets hold of us. Sorcery and witchcraft inflicted, even if by others, it doesn't matter. They can be performed by others, but if we have and we have the prescription and we know what to do and what to recite, and we carry out our a'mal, Shaitan can never succeed over a true believing Muslim and a true practicing Muslim. Shaitan cannot. Impossible. No matter how powerful Shaitan is, one recitation of A'uzu billahi minash shaitanir rajim coming from a sincere mu'min's heart will blow Shaitan to pieces. It will tear him apart. He cannot succeed. But Shaitan succeeds because of our own weakness. Willful neglect of duty brings Shaitan into the picture, and his task is to deceive, to seduce and to mislead us through temptations and through magic and through sorcery. Shaitan uses material things to lead us astray. How dumb and swollen-headed we Muslims have become that we fail to see the stupid tricks Shaitan plays with our lives. You know, on the day of Qiyamah, when Shaitan delivers his khutbah and he tells the people that, look, all I did was only to tempt you. I never forced you to commit evil and sin. All I did was I merely spurred you on. I only suggested you to commit evil. I did not make you do it. Your hands, your feet, your body, your limbs, your lips, your eyes, your nose, your face, you committed the deed. All I did was I suggested to you commit zina. I didn't make you do it. The moment I saw you alone with a woman and you busy with her, I was gone. I had nothing to do. I didn't force you upon her. I didn't force you to commit zina. Look where you find yourself today. Don't blame me. I am blameless. Ya Allah, it is not me. I only suggested evil to the people. They have committed the deed. And that day you will realize the tricks that Shaitan has played on you. And yet the words of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la taqrabu zina, do not even go near it. We do not pay attention or obedience to such commands. That is but one example. What about all the others? And so we go on. And then you find us being plagued by sorcery and witchcraft and all kinds of terrible powers that Shaitan has. And really Shaitan has got terrible powers. For who? Not for the one who has got Tawheed and Risalat and Akhirat, Iman Billah, Iman Bi Rasulillah, true practicing Muslim. He has got nothing to fear. It is the weak ones that Shaitan gets hold of, and then he makes them, mesmerizes them. He uses his magic formula on them and he gets them completely blind to reality and to truth, and then he messes their whole lives. The virtues and blessings of Ibadah and Zikrullah are many, too numerous to mention here. When a Muslim becomes neglectful and heedless in this regard, either through worldly involvement or through religious apathy and spiritual indifference, then Shaitan lures and tempts such a person away from the path of righteousness, from the path of virtue and piety. If one feels the tempting and seducing effect of Shaitan in his body or in his mind, and this is recognizable by evil and sinful thoughts coming into them, immediately let the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala impress itself in your mind, either through oral zikr, through voluntary salah, through performing ablution immediately, through reciting azan, or through any acceptable act of ibadah for that time of the day or night. Starting off each act, each action and each deed with the reciting several times of isti'aza, a'uzu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Let's look at this. This is the first one which I'm mentioning here, how to use a'uzu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. What happens is, we get so involved with the dunya, and then we become spiritually neglectful of our duty. Shaitan then looks around, he is always looking for, shall we say, clients. He's looking for customers all the time, traveling around. He comes into the masjid, he looks who is paying attention to salah, who is carrying out his duty. He goes into homes, he goes into the villages, he goes into the bazaars, everywhere he is roaming, because he's got plenty of forces, and he goes around looking who, and especially amongst the Muslims, which woman is walking around in the streets and in the bazaars with her hair open, and immediately he grasps the hair, tangles it up, and he sits inside that hair. He nests, he builds his nest in the open hair of a woman. Oh, that's a comfortable place. The more open and the more exposed it is, the more comfortably he builds his nest inside there. Tell your wives and tell your daughters that this is what happens. But be careful that they do not laugh, because if they laugh, it is a rejection of the truth and of the fact. That is dangerous. And that is why sometimes we are so afraid, many alims are very afraid to talk, because people may have a cynical approach to many of the true teachings of the deen. Because I mean, the woman will say, my hair, how can he come and nest in there? I see nothing there. She'll actually go and feel in the hair and say, well, there's nothing in my head. What is Maulana talking about that he builds a nest in his hair? You ask her, do you see any jinns? Do you see any shaitans? Do you see any devils? There's millions and millions out there. Do you see any? You don't see them. Do you believe in any? And it could lead to a very, very, because we are supposed to believe in it. We do believe in their existence, but absolutely, right? It is mentioned in Quran, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a prophet unto man and unto jinn, and many other places also. But we do not see them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected us from seeing them. In any case, what I am saying here is that when a person becomes indifferent and his attitude is one of laziness towards his deen, then of course shaitan starts to tempt him. Shaitan starts to put ideas into his mind, into his body, into his mind. And you can recognize this by the evil and sinful thoughts coming into them. You can actually see haram things coming into your mind, forbidden ideas flowing into your mind. When this happens, immediately carry out the following. You can carry out oral zikr, meaning start taking whatever you can, recite of the Quran, whatever you can, intentionally, with meaning and with intent. Voluntary salah, you can go and make wudu and immediately recite 2 rakat salah. If the time is there, reciting azan is very powerful, or any act of ibadah for that time. But every time, whatever you do, recite several times isti'aza. Another position from which shaitan launches his attacks on people through evil whisperings is when they are in unhealthy and bad company. Evil and sinful companions have a very harsh and unpleasant effect on others in their group, and many good people have been destroyed by the company they keep. A sure way to recognize such groups of bad company are that they never or they seldom discuss Allah and His Rasul in their meetings. They seldom discuss or worry about the deen, about Islam, or about the Sharia. This is halal, that is haram. Very seldom are they concerned with Islamic topics and subjects. Their discussions revolve around joy and pleasure, games and fun, the world and the material things of life. If you come across such a company, then shaitan is in their midst, carrying out his work of deception and of fraud. To protect yourself, recite isti'aza immediately and depart from such places and from such company. If you attend such a gathering, or you go to such a meeting, or you have friends that are of this kind, then remember, if you happen to go in and they are seated around and having a discussion of this kind, in which Allah and His Rasul is nothing, no discussion of Deen and Islam and Iman, then you immediately have Allah and His Rasul, then you recite Isti'aza, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajim, and you leave such company, part from such company. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, and I recite this ayah too, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ وَإِمَّا يُنْسِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانُ فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. صدق الله العظيم, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you see those who engage in vain discourse, in light banter and light talk, and when you see those who engage in vain discourse concerning our signs, our revelations, then turn away from them until they engage in better talk. But if shaitan causes you to forget, then sit not after remembrance with the wrongdoing people. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ وَإِمَّا يُنْسِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانُ فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَ مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And when you see people engaged in light talk, light banter, in joyful discussions, in vain, wasteful talk concerning our signs and our revelations, then turn away from such people until they engage in better talk. If they switch to better talk, okay. Otherwise, but if shaitan calls you to forget, what does this mean? In other words, you're sitting in their company, they're having light discussion, vain discourse, you sit down and suddenly you get absorbed and taken up, or you start participating in that particular talk. And then all of a sudden you remember, but I heard this ayat of the Quran, and I heard Maulana saying that if I'm in such company, then I must depart immediately. This is the hukum of Allah's command of Allah Ta'ala. You forgot for a moment, you sat down, you were there maybe for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe even half an hour, maybe even an hour. And all of a sudden you recall that, no, I'm in the wrong company. But if shaitan calls you to forget, that forgetfulness for that 5 or 10 or 15 or half an hour or 1 hour was caused by shaitan. But if shaitan calls you to forget, you know what the law is. But when you sat there, you started the discussion and tea came along and cakes came along and a lively discussion ensued, and you started participating and making your contribution to such a discussion. And after a while you say, but what am I doing here? Allah's name has not been mentioned a single time. Rasulullah's name has not been mentioned. Deen has not been mentioned. Islam has not, nothing of Islam in this company. Then says Allah, but if shaitan cause you to forget, then sit not any further after remembrance with the wrongdoing people. And immediately stand up, make your excuses and depart. This is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah An'am, 6th surah of the Quran, ayat number 68. Companions can affect a person to such an extent in good or bad company that a person must carefully decide what kind of company he wishes to keep. Good company can help one to move towards goodness and towards piety, but bad and sinful company can devastate and destroy a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore has ordained that one should depart from dangerous company, for vain discourse, empty talks leads one away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is susceptibility and inclination towards temptation in evil company, and this will become unavoidable if one remains in such bad company. Shaitan is able to seduce and to tempt even when a person is alone. We look at another example of when isti'aza should be used. I've given you two examples already. The one is where he comes into the mind and he tempts and he lures a person and fills it with evil suggestions, and what to do there is to recite. And the other, second example I gave now is the one of companions, company, bad company. Now let us look at a third one where isti'aza should be used. Shaitan is able to seduce and to tempt even when a person is alone. Shaitan puts evil suggestions and sinful thoughts and ideas into such a person's mind. And the best way to rid oneself of shaitan in such a case is to recite A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajim, isti'aza. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ إن الذين اتقوا إذا مسهم طائف من الشيطان تذكروا فإذا هم مبصرون. صدق الله العظيم. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if an evil suggestion from shaitan incites you to seeks to divert you, then seek refuge in Allah. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. This is where the word isti'aza comes. Fasta'iz billah isti'aza. Then recite isti'aza. Wa imma yanzaghannaka minash shaitani nazghun fasta'iz billah. If an evil suggestion comes from shaitan, incites you, the suggestion incites you, evokes within you some feelings and passions and emotions trying to divert you from Allah's attention, then seek refuge in Allah. Verily Allah is all hearing and all knowing. Subhanallah. You do not have to state it aloud. What is happening inside of you, the temptations and the lures that are coming into your mind from shaitan, the waswas that is entering, and the picture that is being formed in your mind, and the inclination of the nafs towards evil and sin that is developing in your heart, to suppress that. Here it is. Simple formula. With strong meaning and intention, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. You need nothing more. But you must know what it means, and it means, Allah, I am looking for guidance from you, I am looking for shelter in you, protect me from this. Then seek refuge in Allah. And brothers, if we know with strong iman and conviction in isti'aza, the power that it has, shaitan simply moves out. It is when we say it without intention, we say it without understanding the meaning of this particular formula of isti'aza, that shaitan managed to just push it aside. The words come out from the mouth, it is meaningless, shaitan pushes it aside and still gets into the heart and the mind of that particular person, because it is merely recited as rhetoric, it is meaningless. And if an evil suggestion from shaitan incite you to divert you, then seek refuge in Allah, for verily Allah is all-hearing and Allah is all-knowing. Verily, as to those who are pious, meaning those who fear Allah, when a temptation from shaitan comes to them, comes upon them, assails them, they remember Allah, and behold, they see things clearly. That is where the ayat ends. I've put in brackets. They see things clearly means that these are the wiles and traps of shaitan to tempt and to lure them away from Allah, away from the true path. Let's look at it again before we finish up. Surah A'raf, 7th surah of the Quran, ayat number 200 and 201. If an evil suggestion from shaitan incite you to divert you, then seek refuge in Allah, which I said is isti'aza. Verily Allah is all hearing, all knowing. Verily as to those who are pious, when a temptation from shaitan assails them, they remember Allah, and behold, they see things clearly. What do they see? That this was shaitan's waswas. Here is a divine instruction and command from Allah Ta'ala to recite isti'aza when we are confronted by the temptations of shaitan. The isti'aza is therefore a very powerful instrument for the removal of shaitan from a person. We are completely and totally dependent upon Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for everything. To dispute this fact is childish, it is foolish. Man of his own has not the capacity or the power to do good or to abstain from bad. He can only do this with divine help and with divine guidance. That is, with the life and the power that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into his body. A corpse, a dead body, a corpse with its limbs and its body intact, it is useless. And because it is lifeless. Life is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Allah ta'ala that grants us this life and power wishes, nay, that Allah commands that we do that which is good and we refrain from that which is bad. So we have a choice of doing good or bad. But our Maker and Sustainer ordains that we do good and we keep away from and that we avoid bad.
man without guidance and help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a hopeless and a helpless creature. He will certainly be lost if he is left on his own. It is to this effect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, إِنَّمَا تُنْزِرُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الزِّكَرَ وَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَانَ بِالْغَيْبِ فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the address here is directly to the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and through him to us. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can preach only to him who would follow your admonitions, your advice and your precepts, and who fears the merciful Allah in secret. Therefore, bear glad tidings to him of forgiveness and of an honorable reward. Surah Yasin, 36th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 111. Ayat number 11. This is an ayah we all know very, very well. And herein, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that only those people's heart is open to the message of Islam, who are prepared to follow the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that have fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person has got no God fear, no Allah fear, and he's got no love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will not be concerned with obedience. Then he will choose evil above good. Only those that are prepared to submit, that are prepared to surrender their willpower to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the sunnah teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only they will be prepared to learn, to listen and to obey. For the rest, as you can see all around you in this world, people will choose wrong things and evil things. Therefore, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, O my beloved Prophet, inform the people that those who are prepared to listen to you and to follow you, and those who have fear for me, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such people, فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ. And inform them that Allah will forgive them, and that Allah will give them an honorable reward, meaning most probably Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with Jannah. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَنْ يَحْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُحْتَدِي وَمَنْ يُدْلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدٍ. He whom Allah guides is rightly guided, but he whom he sends astray, for him you will find none to defend or to direct. Subhanallah. Surah Kahf, 18th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 17. All of us, every human being, he whom Allah guides is rightly guided. If you choose to be good, if you have Allah fear, you wish to be obedient, you wish to surrender your will to the will and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you wish to submit what you have in your mind to the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, since you wish to be rightly directed and you sincerely wish to be directed correctly, he whom Allah guides is rightly guided. Allah will guide you, and he whom Allah guides will be rightly guided. But for those who reject Allah and His Rasul, submission to Allah and His Rasul, obedience to Allah and His Rasul, he whom Allah sends astray, they choose. But Allah sends astray because the life and the power in their limbs comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And since they have chosen to go astray, of their own decision, therefore, of their own determination, then they have decided, but he whom he sends astray, for him you will find none to defend or direct. Very dangerous ayah. Why dangerous? Because he whom Allah has left on his own, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not direct any longer. Can you imagine the hell that person can go into, fi dunya wa fil akhirah? No guidance, no rahmah from Allah, no nusra from the malaikas, nobody to guide him, nobody to help him. He is a lost creature. He goes from one evil to another. This is from Surah Kahf, 18th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 17. It is only through obedience to Allah Ta'ala and Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that right guidance and true direction can be obtained, which leads to true salvation, forgiveness, mercy and success in the eternal life of the hereafter. Shaitan attempts to become an impediment on the way to man's success. He tries to deceive. Shaitan tries to tempt and to lure man away from the subservience and surrender of the will to the will and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this has Allah ta'ala granted us through divine revelation the isti'aza, a'uzu billahi minash shaitani rajim, against shaitan, for our own safety, own security, for our own protection, besides several others to which I will come shortly. This is one dua which I am emphasizing. All of us know it. We have it in our hands all the time. We have it in our hearts. We have it in our memories all the time. It is the most powerful one of all the other duas. Man is constantly engaged in a variety of actions and deeds. Now we come to the fourth one, how to use A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajim. And the fourth one is perhaps the most important one which we are doing now. And I'm taking it again from Quran. Man is constantly engaged in a variety of actions and deeds, some for religion, some for gain, some for pleasure, and some to help out others and so on. Whatever be the nature of the task and the work that we are engaged in, it is sunnah to proceed with A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajim, with the recitation of the isti'aza. Bear that in mind always. Many things go wrong when we start any duty, any task, any work without reciting A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajim. Always, whenever you embark on any project, any journey, any duty, any task, any work, be it religious, in other words, be it a work of ibadah, any kind whatsoever, or be it any form of zikr, be it any kind of worldly work, worldly task, business, economic, social, anything, commence with A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajim. If you happen to forget, then after, when you remember and when you recall, then immediately recite it. Allah will understand, for Allah knows what goes on in the hearts of man, of men. And to say it with the tongue, say this isti'aza with the tongue, and to be firmly convinced in the heart that it has the power to heal, to seal, and to protect one from harm. This is the conviction. You recite it. Now you're reciting it out of the Quran. You're reciting it as a dua, the isti'aza, for protection against shaitan, for protection against evil, for protection against failure. Not that you will succeed. That is whatever Allah decrees, whatever is in your fate, in your taqdeer, that is what will happen. But you recite the isti'aza so that no evil can get in and reduce your work or your task. You say to the tongue, and you must have firm conviction in your heart that this isti'aza has the power to seal and to protect one from harm. Shaitan is forever trying to divert people from good and virtuous deeds towards evil and sinful ones, places brakes on his evil plan. Shaitan is all the time going, the moment he reads your mind and he sees in your heart that you want to start with some work or task or duty, then immediately Shaitan comes nearby to listen. Are you going to recite isti'aza? Are you going to start with the name of Allah or not? The moment you miss out on A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajim on isti'aza, then Shaitan immediately finds that there is a gap, there is an open door for him, inviting him to come inside and play his role in that particular work, in that particular duty. So Shaitan is forever trying to divert people from good and virtuous deeds towards evil and sinful ones. This is his task every minute, every second of the day. But the recitation of this prayer places brakes on his plans, for he is chained and fettered, and his power for evil is nullified as a result of the recitation of isti'aza. When undertaking any major act of ibadah, as salah, sawm, hajj, tilawah of Quran or zikrullah, then proceed with the isti'aza. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Subhanallah, fasta'iz billah, that is where again I say the word isti'aza has been taken. This is by the hukum of Allah Ta'ala in the Quran Majid. Fa'iza qara'ata al-Qur'ana fasta'iz billah minash shaitani rajim. Brothers, a question arises, it should arise in your mind. Quran, kalamullah, the word of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and yet Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is instructing us that when we pick up the Quran and we recite the Quran, or when we recite the Quran without looking at it from our memories, we must first recite A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan, the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means to say Shaitan is so powerful? Kalamullah in my hand, and yet shaitan can come and penetrate into me. I'm in salah, and in salah, while I'm reciting and talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning reciting Quran, shaitan can still penetrate into my heart and my mind and make mischief and make waswas. How powerful is this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Here is the proof. Yes, he is. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, just the short recitation will keep him away and make him move out from near you. What is it? فَإِذَا قَرَأَتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. How powerful is this أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And yet we run, you and me run around everywhere. Mawlana, this is happening. Sheikh, this is happening. Brother, this is happening. This is happening in my home. And what is happening? Think back a little. How many of us recite it all the time in our engagement? Alright, you say, there is Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Brothers, Bismillah Rahman Rahim comes after A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. I'm not saying don't recite Bismillah Rahman Rahim, by all means. But here we are talking of a formula. That is A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. Which formula? A formula that will protect us from the waswas, the evil suggestions, and the participation in our activities of shaitan, and turning our lives upside down. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, when you pick up the Quran, first thing you do, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And thereafter you follow it up with بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nahl, Surah the Bee, 16th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 98, and when you recite the Quran, seek refuge in Allah from shaitan, the cursed one. Very, very clear. Shaitan is an ever persistent and an ever present enemy of man, even if man is in prayer. By reciting the isti'aza, shaitan is restricted in his ability to deceive, to plant thoughts and ideas into the person's mind and imagination. He is restricted in trying to perplex and confuse the person, in trying to make him hasten prayer, in trying to cast evil pictures in the person's mind, and to generally create a disturbance and confusion while the person is praying. Now this is, many brothers tell me this, that Mawlana, I'm making salah, but all these thoughts keep coming in my mind. It happens to all of us, brothers. I'm no angel, just a human like you. All of us from time to time get penetrations from shaitan. It comes in, it worries us, some more than others. What is the cure? Before you start your salah, recite A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. Then you make your niyah and whatever else you want to follow. Come into the masjid, go out of the masjid, enter your home, go out of your home, going to work, coming back from, going to school, coming back from school, starting with any activity, any work, every time A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. You will be remembering Allah, you will be using this formula, you will be protecting yourself from the attentions of shaitan. He will not be able to invite himself freely. He will find no open door. Then shaitan doesn't leave you. Do bear this in mind. Shaitan doesn't leave you even then. Then shaitan looks if he can't creep in from under that door. If there's a little gap or an opening there, in other words, you have missed a salah waqtu. And he says, all right, this man recited A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan. He recited his isti'aza, but he is neglecting his duty. Which duty? The duty which is incumbent, which has been placed on him as a compulsory act. He doesn't think of Allah. He recites A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. He thinks he's taken his dose of medicine, and after that neglect all the way, and laziness and indifference. No, brothers. Then that gap opens up at the bottom of the door. There's a little, then shaitan looks for that. And remember, the smallest pinhole, shaitan can get through it. You cannot recite A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem and then forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. Then it doesn't work. Or he will creep in from somewhere. So there has to be a follow through. Allah has to be in your mind all the time. So this is what I'm saying. The isti'aza thus has great power over shaitan. Here follow a few examples of the power of isti'aza, of A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, as taken from Quran Majid. What I've done here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid has given us several examples of how isti'aza was used in the past by the great prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how effective it was. So what I've done is, in story form, I've compiled them, and from there you will learn how powerful and how potent is the simple
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم the istiaza which we will do next week inshallah جزاكم الله وآخر الدعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله all thanks and all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our maker Allah our master Allah our creator Allah our sustainer Allah one Allah وحده لا شريك له Allah who hath no partner. And we sent darood and salam upon the beloved messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our subject is Shaitan's plan for man, and we are busy with the final chapter in our lesson on Shaitan's plan for mankind. I was busy giving you an example of the dua of isti'aza, which is a'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, and how effective the simple dua is when performed and recited as an isti'aza for protection against the plans, the tricks, the wiles of shaitan. It is a dua which we sometimes ignore the effect of. But this very simple dua, A'uzu billahi minash shaitani rajim, which is technically termed the isti'aza, I proceeded last week to give you the first example from the Quran Majid as to how effective it was when it was recited by the great messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam was born, her mother Hannah recited the following dua as recorded in the Quran Majid. And that is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim Inni Sammaytuha Maryama Wa Inni U'izuha Bika Wa Zurriyataha Minash Shaitanir Rajim Sadaqallahul Azim. She said, O Allah, I have named her Maryam, O my Creator, O my Rabb, I have named this child that I have given birth to, I have named her Maryam, and I commend her to your protection, O Allah, and also her issue against Shaitan, the cursed one. This ayat I've quoted is from Surah Al-Imran, third surah of the Quran, ayat number 36. Surah number 3, ayat number 36. Wa inni, says Hannah, the mother of Maryam alayhi salam, she had prayed for a boy. She wanted to have a boy. And in those days, her family used to donate their children to the temple. And the temple in those days, to keep it clean, to prepare it, like the brothers are busy doing here in the masjid now, they're laying the lines and so on, they're busy preparing for Taraweeh, and they're forming, you know, where people should stand and so on and so on. Masjid will be cleaned out and spring cleaned, and the carpets will be cleaned out. All is in preparation for some. In those days, they used to donate some of their children to the temples of that period, and those children were brought up in the temple, and they used to do the khidmat of the temple. So her family, Maryam alayhi salam's family, used to always give their either the third or fourth child, always they used to make, and she had made a niyat that, Ya Allah, whichever child I give birth to, I hope it is a boy, I will give it over to the temple priests, and her charge and duty will be to look after the temple. That was her niyah. And then she gave birth to a girl. There was a bit of disappointment linked to this, but then she makes this dua, and she says, Inni sammaytuha Maryam, wa inni u'izuha bika, wa zurriyataha minash shaitanir rajim. The dua is Isti'aza minash shaitani rajim. I have named her Maryam, and I commend her to your protection, O Allah, and also her issue, meaning her children, whoever Maryam gives birth to. One child, two child, three child, four child, doesn't matter how many she gives birth to. All those children, O Allah, you must grant them refuge, shelter and protection against Shaitan, the cursed one. This was the dua of Hannah, the mother of Maryam alayha salam. The effect and the impact of this dua of the mother of Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam was enormous. It was profound in that Such is the power that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed to the isti'aza that both Maryam alayhi salam and her son, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, remained untouched by the hands and by the plans of shaitan, the cursed one. This is in the light of the hadith of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which states that he said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I quote, shaitan touches the sides of every child born with his two fingers, excepting for Maryam and Isa, for they were protected by Allah. And in brackets, they were protected. What was the reason? Because Hana, Nabi Isa alayhi salam's grandmother, had made the dua isti'aza. In other words, if a mother gives birth today and she makes the same dua, the same effect will be carried forward. Allah will guard and protect. So we learn from this hadith also, every child, every time a child is born to a couple, then the first to touch them is shaitan. Yes, malaikas do touch them, as we will learn further on. But the first to touch, shaitan makes his presence known, and he touches them on the side. So these two fingers, he touches them on the side. In other words, he makes mas. Mas meaning he touches them, and he tries to claim them, the right to make waswas to them, and the right to deceive them from the child that they are, from the time that they are babes. This is what shaitan touches the sides of every child born with his two fingers, but the two children he could not touch were Maryam and Isa. This I've extracted from the Kitab, Taziana Shaitan, page 17. Let's look at example number 2 from the Quran as to how powerful the simple dua. Again, I say, you and I tend to ignore the power and the effect of the simple dua, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajim. But look what happened in the case of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam recited isti'aza to safeguard himself. Recited isti'aza to safeguard himself from the attentions of Zulaykha when he was in the palace. The Quran Majid states as follows with regard to Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. Says the Quran, Ma'azallah. What did Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam say when he was approached by Zulaykha? He said, Ma'azallah, innahu rabbi ahsana maswaya. Ma'azallah. Also from A'uzu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ma'azallah, innahu rabbi ahsana maswaya. I seek refuge in Allah, said Yusuf. I seek refuge in Allah. Verily, He, Allah, is my Rabb. He is my provider, my sustainer. He, Allah, has made my stay honorable, in brackets, on earth. In this place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken me. My brothers dumped me into a hole. In Egypt, they dumped him. They went back to the father, Yaqub, alayhi salam, and they said, well, we took him there, but most probably the wolves must have eaten him. We don't know what happened to your beloved Joseph, Yusuf. But they had thrown him into a pit, and they had all gone back. And they took shawl, and they showed it to the father, that his shawl was wetted with the blood, with blood, and so on. You know the whole story, it's a very famous story. Now that same Yusuf came and he started working in the palace of the governor, and this is what happened. He came to a very prominent position, and Zulaykha took a liking to him, and she tried to seduce him, as a result of which, what dua did Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam make? When she wanted to seduce him, what dua did he make? Ma'azallah. Same, A'uzu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, which I am telling you is one of the most powerful du'as to make to protect yourself from shaitan and the attentions of shaitan nir rajim, the cursed one. I seek refuge in Allah. I seek the protection of Allah. Oh Allah, I ask you to protect me, to safeguard me, to secure me from Zulaykha. Verily, He, Allah, you are my sustainer. Allah has made my stay honorable. So Allah, keep me honorable. Keep me respectful on earth. Look, this is important to understand. There is no arrogance in Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. You and I, with a little bit of knowledge that we have, think that we can do without Allah, without the protection of Allah. We sometimes refuse to make dua. We refuse to seek from Allah. We refuse to beseech Allah. We refuse to go on our foreheads in sijda and to prostrate ourselves and to ask Allah for forgiveness, to seek of His mercy and His clemency. What are we in front of the Ambiyas and the great prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have immediately in gratefulness and thankfulness prostrated themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanked Allah? Ya a Rasul of Allah, a great prophet and messenger like Yusuf alayhi salam, has absolutely no hesitation in seeking the guidance and protection and security of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet you and I know, our belief is that every Nabi and Rasul is protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without them asking for it, they are protected. Yet despite protection, they still seek and ask, request the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ma'asum. He was innocent of all sin. Yet every day, hundreds of times, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beseeching, crying, we learn that his beard used to be wet and his tears used to flow down his breast. Subhanallah. At night he used to cry that Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha tells us, he used to cry so that at night she used to awaken with his crying. She says she used to hear, you know how the kettle lid when the water boils, how it, you all must have heard it at some time or another, the lid of the kettle, it shakes, it rattles, it gives a sound. She says that is how the sound used to emanate from the chest of Sayyidina Nabina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he used to cry for his ummah. Now, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like that, look at Nabi Yusuf alayhi wa sallam also. How many examples do we have? Let us never be arrogant or proud of whatever we know or whatever we possess or whatever we have. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam was protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a result of asking and seeking from Allah this dua of isti'aza, and the isti'aza was very effective and protective. The prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are ma'asum, they are innocent of all sin. For the instruction of mankind, however, certain examples of the accuracy of their teaching and innocence are illustrated to mankind. The isti'aza, therefore, is a very powerful dua to apply against the shayateen of this world and has been very successfully applied in the past. But it must be done with the certainty and conviction of intention. I repeat, this is important. Do not allow it to merely be a fumbo or a mumbo. It must be an intention. You must make the niyyah, O Allah, I am going to recite isti'aza and you must help me. Once you have said that, ask Allah's help and mercy, then of course, then you recite, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan. Let every recitation be preceded by an intention. Make intention known and then recite, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan irajim. During the prophethood, let's look at a third example. During the prophethood of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, a man was killed. You know the story, I've told you the full story, so I'm going to be very brief now, I'm only giving you an example. During the prophethood of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, a man was killed, and his murderers could not be traced. One of the Bani Israel people was killed, he was murdered. And they looked and hunted, and they couldn't find the murderer of this particular person. So they came to Nabi Musa alayhi salam for help. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam directed them to the sacrifice of a particular cow, and he told them that they must rub the body of the murdered person with a piece of the flesh of the sacrificed cow. You know this particular cow, I've told you the whole story in Shaitan's Plan for Man and in Tawheed versus Shirk. So we're not going to go through all those particulars again about the kindly gentleman and the generous person and the true believer who died leaving a son behind, if you recall. And then the father, because the child was very young, the father had taken the cow and he had left it in the jungles. And he left instructions with the mother that when the child is old enough, then the mother must tell this child, the son of his, that there is a certain cow and he must go and take the name of the cow and he must go outside the jungle and shout and that cow would come to him. And then Allah would make it possible that they would receive a great good price for that cow. Now that is that cow. Alright? So, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told the Bani Israel people that there is a certain family there, you must go to that family and so on, and you must buy the cow that family has got. So, then this cow, the Bani Israel must pay him any price that boy wants. son of this great believer, true believer, this wali of Allah, whatever price you want, they must pay him that price, which is a bag of gold or its weight in gold, and then they must buy it and they must sacrifice that particular cow, no other cow. They asked him what color, he said that color. Nabi Musa alayhi salam, how it must be, how big it must be, how old it must be, what shape it must be, what size it must be, everything Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Surah Baqarah, Surah the cow, is the story of that particular cow. So, Nabi Musa alayhi salam described everything to them. They went and looked for it, they found it, they came and they slaughtered it. Once they had sacrificed it, they must take a piece of the flesh, that dead body, they must take a piece of the sacrificed cow, take a flesh of it and rub it against the dead man. What will happen then? This is what will happen. This would bring the murdered man to life. And he would identify his murderers before dying again. In other words, he would come to life. He would be resuscitated, he would be revived by the will and qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this man, dead man, will stand up and he will say, these are the people that murdered me, these are their names, this is the reason why they murdered me, and then he would fall down again and die. Allahu Akbar. The Israelites laughed and they mocked and they jeered at Nabi Musa alayhi salam, for such a thing appeared impossible and totally unnatural to them. It defied every law of nature. They said, and this is recorded in the Quran Majid, Qalu, they told Musa alayhi salam, Qalu, said they, Atattakhizuna huzuwa, do you take us for imbeciles? Are you poking fun at us? Musa, are you making a joke with us? Are you joking? Are you being funny? Qalu, Atattakhizuna huzuwa. And Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told them, Qala, A'udhu billahi an akuna min al-jahileen. Nabi Musa alayhi salam replied and told them, may Allah grant me refuge from being of those who are ignorant. Qala, A'udhu billahi an akuna min al-jahileen. May Allah grant me refuge from being of those who are ignorant. Surah Baqarah, second surah of the Quran, ayat number 67. The result of this isti'aza of Nabi Musa alayhi salam was that after they had followed his instructions, the dead man came to life and he identified his killers as his heirs who had killed him out of greed. Here again we find how powerful and practical the isti'aza was. Here again, Nabi Musa alayhi salam was protected and this miracle came to fruition. The person did stand up, the person did identify killers. He actually pointed and he said, these are the brothers that killed me, and they killed me because they wanted to take over my property and my possessions. Out of pure greed did they kill me. Alright. Fourth example. Here is a further example of the power and the impact of the isti'aza and its ability to protect its reciter. Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, we are talking about a'uzu, simple, that we, you and I, every time, when we begin the day, when we end the day, in between, whenever we can, whenever we start with the project, whenever we intend doing anything, must recite, a'uzu billahi minash shaitani rajim, and thereafter, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Here is a further example of the power and the impact of the isti'aza, and its ability to protect its reciter. Nabi Nuh alayhi salam requested Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to spare his son from the dangerously rising waters of the flood, of the deluge. On being rebuked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making such a request, Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam pleaded with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as recorded in the Quran Majid. Said Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Rabbi, inni a'uzu bika an as'alaka ma laysa li bihi ilmun. Rabbi, my sustainer, my Rabb, my creator, my provider, Rabbi, my sustainer, inni a'uzu bika, I seek refuge in you, an as'alaka, that I should ask of you, O Allah, ma laysa li bihi ilmun, that I should seek from you, ask you, request of you, whereof I have no knowledge. Allah, make me maaf. I ask for my son is beloved. Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to secure his son, save his son from the flood waters. The father was not aware that the child was an unbeliever. The child has always pretended that he was a true believer. He had never given the father any idea that he had joined the kuffar.
So the father had no idea, and that is why the father asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, you have promised that you will protect a Nabi and you will protect the family of the Nabi. This is my son, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, I can see the flood waters are going to at any time drown him. Oh Allah, save my son.